there to my crowns. This is Rebecca, aka Crown Riri, reminding you to subscribe your email to crownones.com, follow crownones_com on Instagram, and also like, share, and most importantly, subscribe. All support is welcome and a big help. I am a one-woman show. And last but not least, stop at crownonesmerch.com to purchase She is Crown Tea or He is a Culture Tea. You can check out all the links below for the Instagram page, the website, and also to purchase your shirt. Again, thank you so much for all of your support. Thank you for pressing play. And of course, I hope you enjoyed this wonderful crown conversation. There we go. Hi, my name is Rebecca, aka Crown Riri, and this is Conversation Sunday, where I sit down and speak with wonderful authors about their published work and also have our crown moments. So I do have a wonderful lady here. I've been looking forward to speaking with her for about a month or two now. Can you introduce yourself to the crowns out there?
Absolutely. My name is Phyllis Hansen Ansesina, and I am a 60-year-old, just turned 60, vibrant woman who feels like I've just maybe turned 40, if that.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I'm a mom of 3 plus 4 with my husband's children, so 7 children total, a grandmother of one that's 21, a grandmother of a child that's just 6 months old.
Aww.
And yes, and we're dying to get back to the U.S. We're in Bangkok, Thailand, mm-hmm. where my husband has been here working, and he's Thai anyway, Thai American, so worked out great for him. I followed him. I uprooted myself. Our kids are grown, and I said, you're not going to Thailand without me. So I left my
work
and reinvent myself. Yes.
Awesome. And my camera isn't working, you guys, but Ms. Hansen does not even look like she is touching 60 at all. So I just want to say that. I just turned 36, and I feel like the next day after I turned 36, my body was like, all right, these are our issues that we have.
You know, you'll find that all of a sudden you're going to turn a corner and you're going to look better than you did when you were 20. And somehow for a lot of women, it happens when they're in their 40s. I don't know why, but it does.
Awesome. Yeah, I've heard that before. My coworker, she's like in her 40s. She's like, when you get to your 40s, you're going to feel like a whole new person. So.
Absolutely. I've seen it happen so many times. And it happened to myself, too.
So. Awesome. Well, I have 4 more years to go because, yeah, when I turned 36, my body was like, ah, now you feel old. So you are an author. What inspired you to write?
You know, I grew up with the love of books. And I think that I must have drove my parents crazy because I was an early reader. I hadn't started school yet. And so off to the library, I would go to find my little books to bring home and read, and then return every week checking out more books. And I really found that I was lost in the stories, and I really felt like my imagination took me to where those authors were bringing us in those little storybooks. And it continued. I grew up in a very small rural town in northern Minnesota in the USA, for those of my friends that might be listening from outside of the USA.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cold, 8 months out of the year, whatever. And what would you do? You stay inside and you read. So I loved reading. I instilled that love and passion for reading with my kids. And I loved writing also. And when I was little, I thought, oh, I want to write stories. I want to write books. And I kind of forgotten that that was something that I wanted to do until the last decade, where, you know, I turned 50 and I was like, what am I going to do with my life? You know, what am I going to do that's this big, hairy, audacious goal. And writing a book was one of them. So that's what inspired me. I wrote a lot of articles when I kind of came into my own in the fitness industry in my 30s. I started writing articles for different magazines and newspapers. And then when I moved to Thailand, there's a few expat magazines that had asked me if I wouldn't mind writing for them. And so easy for me to write health and fitness and aging articles, that type of thing.
Cool. Yes. I love when I speak to people and they start off like what their childhood is. And then like, we look back on it and we still have that passion. It may be like hidden because we're growing up and you're raising children and being a wife. And it's like, you could still hear that small little girl voice saying, this is what I love to do. So I love hearing about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I guess during the COVID, I realized like how much, well, I guess it was last year. I was a big reader too. And I grew up in Fairbanks, Alaska, for about 10. Yeah. I think I was like 10 when we moved here to Florida, but I still remember like so many things about it. But like you said, we would be in the cold, in the house, books. And so like now I think because we were in the house in quarantine, it's books, and I'm getting back to loving to read. I get it.
For a lot of people. And I even, the first lockdown with COVID, our kids are scattered around the US and around the world actually. And my daughter and I, my daughter's 41 now, but we decided to do a kind of a personal development book study together. Chapter, and then we would get on, FaceTime with each other, and we would discuss what we learned from that chapter, how we related to it. And so I think it brought a lot of people back into books and stories and movies
Now I'm in school and I'm like, I just want to sit somewhere and read a book. And now it's like school and work, but it's like, if I could just get 10 minutes of reading a book. So yeah, I think the COVID really brought like the book lover, like you said, out of a lot of people, and putting down our devices and reading an actual book in hand was, to me, like a very good moment.
Yes. I get lost in my phone, but not always for the best stimulation. So a book.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, same here. I think social media was down today and I was like, oh, okay. So you wrote the book called Glow Up. Can you give us like just a summary of the book and what inspired you to write that publishing?
Yes. So it's Glowing Up. And I thought, okay, for my first book, I need to write something that I'm comfortable with. And of course, for the last 40 years, in some aspect or another, health and fitness has been a career, starting with teaching in the big gymnasium of the YMCA, teaching group fitness, and then eventually personal training became something in the Midwest, where you wouldn't have dreamt that anybody would ever hire a personal trainer in the early 80s. And so I really grew with my fitness and my health. And I was thinking about all of the people, men and women, who had crossed my desk at the health clubs that I've managed. And that, what I saw was low self-esteem, self-loathing. Not only were they, maybe out of shape, but they were just so embarrassed and uncomfortable about it and really needing somebody to take them by the hand. And I realized that really was me, 40 years before. Sorry about my dog.
It's fine. I have one.
He had to get up early with me.
He's actually sleeping, but I was hoping he wasn't going to bark. So hopefully he won't.
And so, so I thought this would be a great first book. So Glowing Up not only tells a lot about my story because I was so shy and so insecure, and it tells my story and about how fitness really helped me to come out of my shell and to grow and flow. And I thought if this works for me, it can work for other people. So the book is about my story, and there's some funny little things that have happened along the way that I thought would be fun for people to share. And it's about some of the transformation of some of my clients also. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just hoping that I can inspire people to, you know, find not only their health, but find themselves, find their strength, find their power through the means of just bringing their bodies healthier.
I like that you said that, because especially about your bodies being healthy, because I think that everybody's body is healthy differently. I think sometimes when we try to match it with somebody else's, that's not for us. And I think that's where like the low self-esteem comes from and the feeling of being like a failure. But it's like, we are all created differently, but we can all still be healthy.
Absolutely. We do not have to look like the, you know, the bodybuilders or the, I love bodybuilding, don't get me wrong, but to maintain something like that or to aspire to have a physique that maybe just isn't in your genes and be focused on that for the rest of your life, trying to achieve that, it's a waste of time. You know, just find your own health and find the body that you feel most comfortable in, and we run with that.
Yeah, I learned that when I'm a big Beyonce fan, but I think like when she did her concert and she stepped on the scale and she's like, oh my God, I'm 165. And I was like, I would love to be 165. I was like, okay, we are on two different missions.
Yes, yes. And think about how many people want to have that physique that she has. And she's not 120 pounds. She's 165, you know, and she's amazing. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was like, why is she upset? Like, why is she still working out? But yeah, I think it's important, and I'm learning, and I was saying, you know, once I turn 36, now my whole thing is, and I try to ask myself this every day, is what is my body telling me? Because sometimes I think we ignore what our body is telling us because we in our mind want something different. So yeah, I appreciate you just talking about the body itself. Cause like I said, I've been thinking like, okay, what is my body telling me? Like, why do I feel sluggish? Why do I don't feel like getting out of the bed? And sometimes it has to do with the body itself.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And that's definitely something I talk about in Glowing Up. And then with the workbook and website, I'll have interactive courses for people to take where they start to find, that way of listening to their body and being aware of what it's saying.
Yes, I love that. And speaking of being aware, how important is the self-awareness for you? And also, did you realize the self-awareness like in your book as you were writing about yourself? And, you know, I know that you said she shared some stories in there about you, but when did that like self-awareness happen?
You know, the self-awareness was really a growing thing. And I think that as I continued to learn how to teach different classes, fitness classes, you know, especially coming into yoga and Pilates, that I physically became much more aware of, you know, what I was feeling, what, you know, what triggers might cause ailments for me. So I think that it's really, really important that you take a few moments every day or more that you're just kind of coming inside yourself. You're dialing in and listening to what your body is telling you, because your body is telling you a story. Mm. Your heart, your mind, your spirit, they're telling you a story and they're telling you what's happening to you, but you've got to take a moment to listen to it, to really, truly listen. And that self-awareness for me has helped me catch ailments that I needed to be in a hospital for, you know, injuries that were not healing, no matter what I was doing. It's like, okay, there's something deeper that's wrong. Yeah. But not only that, is also starting to recognize your environment and what's around you. And I've always had a sense, I know some people might think that this is weird or whatever, but I've always had a sense of other people's energy as well, as far as self-awareness. And so I've learned to detect, you know, when there's a predator or somebody that makes me uncomfortable. I've learned to listen to that uncomfortableness. And I've learned the hard way sometimes, because sometimes I've fell into, you know, a trap of somebody being very, you know, very kind and very, and then finding out that no, they're really just taking advantage of you. So now I listen to my gut. So you got to have self-awareness. Yes.
Yes, I love that. Yes, I was raised, my father raised me to observe. So I get it when you say like that energy, like if you, sometimes I'm slow to speak, but I'm watching and I'm observing because I like to protect my own energy. Therefore, you know, I'm careful like who I speak with and, you know, if it goes past the conversation and things like that, because like you said, we have to be aware of our energy and also protecting it. So
oh, I agree. Yes.
Love that. And when you speak about just the self-awareness again of the body, I think that's like really important. And I'm saying it again because I'm learning that is saying like, what is my body doing? Like, what is going on? Like, what am I eating? And just taking that in. So that's me repeating it to myself.
Yes. That's something that I teach with my clients too, is even with your, with, you know, the buzzword is mindful eating, but is something to it. And you can start to learn, you know, what foods give you energy, what foods drag you down, what foods make you feel ill. So if you slow down when you're eating and kind of feel the texture of the food, you can almost kind of feel on a cellular level.
Yeah.
When it gives you that burst, you know, so definitely a big way of being more aware. And also when you start to be aware of what the food is doing for you, it helps you to decide the best foods for you, how much food you should have, and be able to lose the weight if somebody's trying to lose weight or gain weight, whatever it might be, you know, that you can start to be a lot more dialed in.
Yeah. Yes, I'm praying that when I go see my doctor, I don't have to cut out my pasta, but we shall see. I love pasta so much.
Poor pasta has gotten a bad rap. And so if it makes you feel good, it gives you energy, or maybe there's certain pastas that feel better for you than others, then enjoy your pasta.
Thank you. I'll remember that. Yeah, I think I do it like, because I say by myself, like pasta is like a long lasting dinner to me. It's like, it could last me like 2 or 3 days. So I think that's like, maybe I should like cut down on it, but we shall see.
Yeah. And I found, you know, speaking of pasta, that, you know, there's different qualities of the pasta that you're eating, and some I can really enjoy. And then there's some that I'm like, okay, that didn't make me feel good. And I now, you know, look like I'm 5 months pregnant instead.
Yeah.
You figure out the brands or the restaurant, whatever it might be, that will work for you.
Yeah. Olive Garden gets me every time. And speaking about that, how do you speak about self-care, like in your book, or how important is self-care? I know last year, a lot of people were going through, I won't say going through, but focusing on their bodies. And, you know, like you said in your book, how you talk about just glowing up. And I think last year was like really a season of doing that because everybody was at home and you're in that self-awareness moment. And on top of that, also, what I'm trying to say is like, you're taking care of yourself, but how important is it to take self-care as you are in the glow up moment, glowing up?
I self-care is also so important. And we get one body. And that body is our house, and we want to take really good care of it. And I like to teach people to understand that your body is like a high performance car, and you've got to give it the best fuel. You've got to really care for it. And then in seeing the clients that I've worked with over the past, my first client was 79 years old. And, and then I had several clients that were, in their 70s.
Wow.
And they had abused themselves, you know, physically, with food, with alcohol, with life, you know, not being active. And they were in a lot of pain and should have been still quite vibrant. And, you know, through teaching them how to care for themselves, how to nurture themselves, you know, and it's not just our food and our nutrition, but, you know, just taking a look at how do we look, you know, get dressed for the day, you know, make yourself feel good, whatever it is. If it, whether it's a haircut, a hair color, whether it's Botox, what, you know, whatever it is you need to do along with your self-care, you know, of exercise and nutrition, and being mindful and being spiritually connected in some way, it's really, really important to tie it all together. When I work with my clients, we do something called the Wheel of Life, where you're looking at balance of everything spiritually, financially, you know, physically, all of that. You've got to have it on a good spectrum where things look balanced. Otherwise, you're going to sense something is off and you're going to want to be always trying to figure out what it is. But if you take a look at that and you can correct it, it really makes a big change, big difference.
Yes, I love that. Yes, I am a full-time student and I work full-time and I love my podcasting. And I'm like, I have to figure out some type of schedule that I can stay on, because I love, like, I don't want to stop doing something because I'm doing this and doing that. And like you said, that balance is so important, because if you don't have that balance, it's like what you're currently doing, it's like, okay, I don't want to do that anymore because I don't know, like, I can't balance it out. And it's like, no, you can, like, it's possible.
It gives you the confidence, you know, you do those little things that you need to do to balance your life. It's going to give you more confidence knowing that, you know, your hours are managed. And that's not always easy, you know, but we make our best attempt. Our hours are managed. We're pulled together. We're feeling good. We're looking good. And we can tackle life so much better.
Yes. Yes, because I had a self-care Sunday and I hadn't in a long time, but, and it was because I scheduled it so like I can get done with my homework on Sunday before like 12. So after my homework was done like at 11:30 in the morning, I was like, oh, I have some free time. Like I was like, oh my God, let me catch up on everything. And like you said, it just brought me like so much happiness and that self-care of just saying like I could sit on the couch and watch TV and not have to worry about turning something in. Like, oh my God. So yes, you're right.
Those are the treats that we should be enjoying in life, you know. So along with a little bit of chocolate every now and then, or white chocolate or pasta, you know, over time is really a valuable thing, and to have that free time to just chill is so, so vital.
Yes, I'm trying to figure out how to do it again. So yes. So from your book Glowing Up, what would you like your readers to take away? And I don't like to say word book, your published work is what I like to say, but what would you like your readers to take away after reading it, or what would you like them to be inspired by?
They're going to read about my life story, you know, so I hope that inspires them in you know, this little rural small town girl who I you know, probably would have never left if I wouldn't have had something inside of me that kept saying, you know, you need to be more. So they learn my life story, but they're also going to find really good tips on how to make those changes in their life as well. And we focus a lot on health and nutrition and movement, but really we're focusing on growing from the inside, finding our power, standing in our own power, and just to be able to grow and glow and embrace everything that life has to offer for you. And even though we're going to look good doing it, we're going to feel even better than what we think we look.
I love it. I love how you said when you were at a place where you heard yourself say, you need to be more. Like, I love that, because I think sometimes we hear that, but we just like, well, anyway, I have other things to do. And it's like, no, like there's something like inside of you saying you need, like need is the word that I want people to listen to, is you need to be more. I love that. Was that like a self-awareness for you at that time?
It definitely was a self-awareness. And like I mentioned, I was such a shy person, and even now, and you'll find this with a lot of fitness people, we're actually kind of introverts, but there's something inside of us that bursts every now and then. And we just love to interact with people. But at first I was really uncomfortable with how bashful I was. And so I was young and I was like, I can't live my life like this, you know, where the teacher calls on me and I'm just shaking and I know the answer, but I can't spit it out because I'm so scared. Mm-hmm. And so I would challenge myself quite often to just put myself out there, you know, signing up for speech club. I had a teacher who at that time, you know, we had some really good classes when I think about some of the courses that we were able to do that I don't think are part of the curriculum in high school now, but it was all about teaching us how to be more confident and you know, find value in ourselves. And that was a big turning point for me. It was like, you know, I really felt like I grew quite a bit in that class. So I had a long ways to go yet, but that was the turning point where I was able to step out and be a little bit more active and involved in what was happening at school and,
you awesome.
Know, and get that into my life from there on out.
Ah, I love it. Yes, believe it or not, I am an introvert, and I was at the, before I started podcasting, I had that moment of me just needing to do more, but I felt like I needed to find a way to have my voice be heard because I like talking to people, even though I'm in my bubble, but yes. And I was like, what can I do? And I started podcasting. I think, oh my gosh, I've been podcasting for like 3 years now. But that's my way of that fulfilling that need to do more. So I definitely understand.
And I think you're in a really good place, a good career, because you are so, so wonderful to talk to, and you make me feel absolutely comfortable. And your voice is like music, so you should be doing this for sure.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I was like, I don't like to talk, but I like to talk, so we'll see. And until I started podcasting, like every other month or every other, like every 2 weeks, I just heard that voice saying, okay, so what are you going to do for yourself? Like, you're working, you're going to, like, what are you going to do for yourself? And this is my self thing, my self-awareness moment is this. So thank you so much as well.
Yes, I love that you're sharing that. That's, I think more people, women and men, sometimes we think it's just women, but more people need to, you know, to be aware and to step out and do something that they think would be really, you know, fun and yeah, help them grow.
And listen to that need of being more. I'm saying it again, because I love that. So many takeaways from this, for me at least.
I'm glad to hear that. I hope others will feel the same.
I'm sure my crowd ones will. So before we go, I always ask my guests to share with me a crown moment. And a crown moment is when your heart and your crown aligns and you have like a testimony to tell us, or just like a blessing that you want to share, or it can be like a life lesson. So do you mind sharing a crown moment with us?
Sure. I actually have a couple. So I have, you know, besides my children, you know, which are my pride and joy, and a very, very much a crowning moment. I feel like I had a couple crowning moments in my fourth decade. And that was, you know, when I realized that everything that I had been doing for myself to grow and to glow and to become a more aligned and powerful woman, I realized that others were looking up to me and getting something from what I was doing, even though I didn't have the confidence at that point in time to recognize that you know, I could change other people's lives. Mm-hmm. And so that was the first crowning moment, was that, you know, I've got something to offer, and shame on me if I don't share that with others and bring others along with me, right? You don't climb the ladder and then just wave down below at people. You want to bring everybody up with you. It's a lot more fun at the top, right? And you're not alone. So that was one crowning moment. And then I think the other crowning moment happened a few years after that, where, you know, we can get crushed in our life by career, by other people, by, you know, people we love, people we don't know. And there was a turning point for me where I no longer let that stomp me out and mm-hmm. put out my fire and put out my spark, where I was just like, you know what, I can survive without you, and I can change my career if I want to change my career. Mm-hmm. And I don't I don't need, yes, I need other people, but I don't need that affirmation from other people anymore.
Right.
It's helped me to make a lot better choices in my life, just to trust my instinct, like we were talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, and to listen to my gut and make a choice that's always going to make myself proud of my, if my parents were still alive, to know that they would be, that I stood up for myself. I stood in my power and they were proud of me.
I love that.
Yes.
I actually just told my, I have another podcast, but I told my friend, I said, as long as I'm making my parents proud, then I'm okay. Like that was my whole goal. So I understand that. I think when we focus on like that one thing that either is going to make us happy or making, regardless if they're here on earth or up in heaven, it's like, they're still looking down on us and we're making them happy. Like we know in our hearts that we're making them happy. So yeah, I think that's really important.
Absolutely. And I think they send me signs all the time. So
yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I believe my ancestors are definitely like covering me at times. I'm like, I don't know about this. And it comes to tuition either way. So yes.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. So where can my reader, my readers, I don't have a book yet. Can my crown ones find you? If you have any social media links, or where can they find the book?
They can find the book at www.glowingup.me. So that's where they can go to the website, and any messages that, you know, they write, I will see it and I can respond.
Awesome.
When Facebook is back up, you can find me at Phyllis Hansen and Cecina, and it's an open page, so or public, I should say, and so you know, they can reach out to me that way as well.
Awesome, thank you. Do you mind staying on the line while I wrap up?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, and thank you so much for being here, because people, well, my listeners out there, so I'm in Florida. Which is like 7:12 here. So I'm believing that where you are is 6:12 a.m.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. So thank you again so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I was so excited to meet you and to be able to share with you about glowing up and hoping to just inspire others. That's my dream from here on out.
Awesome. I know you have inspired me. So I'm sure that my listeners will be inspired. To my listeners out there, please go check out Glowing Up. If you enjoyed this conversation, why would you not? I enjoyed this conversation. So I'm sure that my listeners out there would as well. To my listeners out there, thank you so much for pressing play. I definitely appreciate it. Don't forget you are crowned, and don't forget your crown. And thank you again for joining me and Phyllis on Conversation Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hello out there to my crown ones. This is Rebecca, aka Crown Riri, reminding you to subscribe your email to crownones.com, follow crownones_com on Instagram, and also like, share, and most importantly, subscribe. All support is welcome and a big help. I am a one-woman show. And last but not least, stop at crownonesmerch.com to purchase She is Crown Tea or He is a Culture Tea. You can check out all the links below for the Instagram page, the website, and also to purchase your shirt. Again, thank you so much for all of your support. Thank you for pressing play. And of course, I hope you enjoyed this wonderful crown conversation. We.